entirely driven by bots. And as I look into, you know, if you do a little bit of crystal ball gazing, what I see is the drudgery and the repetitive work that testing involves, that could very easily be taken over by bots. But the exciting, the analysis, the planning, that will never, you know, the business knowledge that it requires for someone to actually test complex platforms, that's not going to go away anytime soon. You definitely need the creative minds of humans to look at how problems are being solved and what is it that where things could break down. And that's where I think we will continue to shine.
Hello and a warm welcome to a very special podcast series, Unusual Suspects. I'm your host, Gaurav Chaudhary. This is a series about unraveling stories of entrepreneurs, investors, and businesses, and of course, professionals who are disruptors, yet not in your face. Their disruptions have consistently delivered on the purpose and the mission they've embarked on. Their values are as strong as the mission. While they're ruthless in pursuing their ambition, they don't stray from being leaders who are not just admired for their vision and relentless pursuit, but also for how they're building an ecosystem of believers who consistently push the boundaries. They allow principles to take precedence over ad hocism. For them, profitability is as important as scale, creating and leading new categories and innovations. In each episode, I speak to one such leader, or a few of them together, talking to her or him or them about their businesses, lives, inspirations, interests, challenges, pivot moments and turning points, successes, failures, agonies and ecstasies, and of course, the little joys of life. It is as much about the personal life stories as about their entrepreneurial and professional journeys. Unusual Suspects streams on earshot.in, spotify.com, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, moneycontrol.com, and a host of other podcast streaming platforms. For this episode, I'm delighted to have Srirang Srikanth, CEO, Yethi Consulting. Yethi is one of India's fastest growing pure play testing service and test automation solution providers, and has served 120 plus clients across 30 plus countries. The team has invested in creating top-of-the-line products to offer a full range of quality assurance services and is focused on multiple lines of businesses, primarily within the BFSI segment. Leading banks, needless to say, rely on Yethi Consulting assurance expertise for business success with their financial applications. Welcome to Unusual Suspects, Srirang.
Thank you so much, Gaurav. Thanks for having me. It's a pleasure being on your podcast. I've been a long time listener, but I think, you know, first time over here talking to you. Look forward to a great discussion today.
Absolutely, Srirang. You know, just to understand, for the basic understanding of me and our listeners, of course, could you please provide a brief overview of Yethi, including its primary products and services, Srirang?
Yeah, sure. So the way I look at Yethi, Gaurav, is an organization that helps large enterprises who are on a tech transformation journey to look at their investment and maximize that, ensure that there are no fumbles, ensures that there are no, in terms of reputational risks that they have to undertake. So we protect, we ensure that the software delivers on the promise. That's the broad spectrum of what we do. We specialize in working with financial institutions, and we have invested in technology that will speeden the task, help them do very repetitive and boring tasks easily without investing human capital into that, but having bots take over things which are not that, you know, exciting, and leave the exciting work to humans.
You know, Srirang, it's interesting. It's working in an area which, although it is B2B, but if eventually the kind of products and expertise and the services that you're bringing to the market is actually, and you know, is only making life easier for the final customer through the banks and the financial services institutions that millions of customers actually deal with. In that context, and I mean, I have to ask you this question because this is the decade of AI. We are in the probably in the high noon of very rapid innovation taking place in that space. How have the recent advancements in such technologies, particularly artificial intelligence, impacted the development of financial and banking software solutions generally and also in India? And how have you adopted these in your own services that you offer?
So AI is an exciting technology. I think AI, while a lot of people are experiencing it for the first time, some form of predictive analytics has been around. I remember algorithms from the 60s, 70s, which were used to predict gold deposits and water in different parts. As you know, it was used in mining. That was where it started. Today, what we are seeing is an explosion in terms of how the technology has grown. From purely mathematical and numeric outputs, today we are looking at generative output, and this is revolutionizing a lot of disciplines within tech and financial services. Tech, definitely, we are seeing a lot of changes in how software is built, what it can do. Financial services is looking at different aspects of how to leverage this technology. What was common was items like credit decisioning was something, but today we are seeing it applied to a lot of different fields, including statement analysis. Tomorrow, you wouldn't be surprised if your bank statement tells you what are your spend patterns, without a graph, but in a textual manner where it outlines, what it has seen in terms of your spend patterns and what it means and where you could be saving money. Those are technologies which are already being talked about. There is huge change, investment and savings which are coming through from use of GenAI-based tools and things like customer service. All of us call up our bank so often, and there is a lot of investment in having people answer those calls. A lot of that is shifting to bots. A lot of that is shifting to chat-based discussions, all powered by AI. So these are different things which we are seeing in terms of what our customers are adopting. But what's interesting is there's a lot of doomsday prediction in terms of our particular discipline, which is testing, where a lot of people are saying that testing will no longer be conducted by humans, but will be entirely driven by bots. And as I look into, if you do a little bit of crystal ball gazing, what I see is the drudgery and the repetitive work that testing involves, that could very easily be taken over by bots. But the exciting, the analysis, the planning, that will never, the business knowledge that it requires for someone to actually test complex platforms, that's not going to go away anytime soon. You definitely need the creative minds of humans to look at how problems are being solved and what is it that where things could break down. And that's where I think we will continue to shine.
Shirang, you're a fairly young company, if I may say so. Just to ask you, can you share a defining moment in Yeti Consulting's journey that significantly influenced its direction and growth?
So yeah, we are very young in terms. We've just crossed about 11 years of operations now. In 11 years, we have now grown to about 1,200 strong. We have both a services and a solutions business. We have achieved, convincing a customer every 6 weeks, a new logo, a new bank, new financial institutions across 30 countries to trust us with their technology platforms, with their decision to deploy or not deploy certain technology platforms. And that's been a very rewarding journey for us. But we didn't start off this way. When we started off 10 years ago, we were a little wondering, we had two or three bets. And when we came out of the initial build and design of our test automation platform, I think that was one very large defining moment, because 8 months into saying we'll do a startup and we've started off the company, we had bet on two or three different technologies, and this piece had, when it took shape, it came out so well, and it looked so differentiated that we decided to focus all our energies into building and growing the QA practice, the testing practice. And that was the first large change in trajectory that we did. The second flip to the company came in 2016, when RBI gave out these new licenses in 2016. Mm-hmm. And there were eight new small finance banks and about eight or nine payment banks. And we went after these customers knowing that as startups, as new entrants, they would be more open to working with a startup themselves. We were, you know, Yethi was what, 4 years at that time. That was our pedigree. We had 4 years under the belt, and we were still under 100, 150 people. And that's when we went after these large institutions that were being built. We were lucky that out of the eight, four financial institutions, four small finance banks, trusted Yeti as their QA partner. And this was a big responsibility because you were getting four financial institutions off the ground. Each one of them had a very, very short runway in terms of timeline that they had given us. And the complexity of technology that was being deployed. 20 years ago, you could start with one or two large applications, and that would be sufficient to set up a bank. But 10 years ago, when we did this, when the small finance banks came up, the competitive landscape was such that they required 20 to 25 different pieces of technology, which had to be validated and commissioned within a period of 8 months, so that you could launch business operations. And that was a major turning point for us, Gaurav.
You know, Shirang, what is the estimated market size for test and automation solutions, and what opportunities do you foresee for further growth and adoption in the future?
See, testing is an integral part of build, as in there's no way that you should release software or any technology without QA. So in that way, it is about 30% of any effort which goes into building software, and that is a very large number. But I think what's more relevant is what gets outsourced, and if you look at the business that we are in, which is, so typically FS contributes to about 50% of any IT spend. And that's the market that we are focusing on. QA, which gets outsourced within, the overall business is anywhere about $17 to $20 billion. And it's very easy to assume that about 50% of that will be within the financial services community. Automation is a smaller subset of that. It is anywhere between 10 to 20%. But that is growing because the technology complexity is growing. Your velocity of releases is increasing. So with every release, you need to do a little more of testing, and that's what driving regression, and that's what is driving business for us. The need for more frequent and regression within software development.
And I have to ask you this as a bank customer. Do you think frequent bank outages coupled with the rush to launch new products contribute to an increased risk of fraud within the banking industry? And you were in a good position to respond to that because you're doing a lot of testing and automation for many of the banks in India.
See, thankfully, so fraud and the opportunity for fraud increases every time we make business or transaction easy. So that's the nature of the game, that if we introduce technology which makes it easier for you to transact, it just makes it easier for the wicked or the people nefarious to use that to defraud you. So it is, the simplicity leads to higher fraud. So we have to be a little more vigilant. But I think the other aspect of this is, does it allow what is called as unauthorized access? So social engineering to get you to key in a PIN that will which transfers money, that is something that only education and awareness will prevent. But the other aspect, without your knowledge, can people get into your banking accounts and withdraw cash? I think that is something that banks have spent a lot of effort preventing, and that I don't think is happening very easily. That is something that I don't think happens very easily because there's a lot of time, effort, expertise that is put towards that. There is also a lot of governance, and a lot of RBI is doing a lot to push on that agenda to ensure that these security, spend and security posture of the banks is extremely hard, in the sense that they are able to prevent and withstand any malicious attacks that come on their way. So yes, I think you need to be vigilant as an individual, but you can be rest assured that the banks have put in place the best technology to prevent your money being taken away unauthorized. But you still have to be vigilant in terms of whom you give out passwords and whom you give out your pins to.
Absolutely. And that's also true of, from the bank's point of view, that's also true of ensuring data privacy for the millions of customers who they serve, isn't it, Shriram?
Yeah, data privacy. See, you have the new data privacy laws which are coming in. We'll have to see how those play out and what is the stance that banks and CISOs take up on that. I think there are a lot of changes, but we are working towards, I think the Indian banking scenario has been extremely strong in terms of what is allowed, what is not allowed. I think RBI and the banks have taken a very good posture in terms of what they want to do with your data. Two new initiatives, I think payment processors or intermediaries which are being allowed, and we will see how that plays out. And the second one is how the data privacy regulation gets played out within India. I think those are things we'll have to watch out for, Gaurav.
Absolutely. And how do solution providers navigate the balance between innovation and maintaining client trust and stability, which is very critical, isn't it, Shriram?
Yeah, that's the biggest problem today, right? As in, the more you innovate, the more you change software, and change and stability are opposites. They do not go well together. And it falls on, and financial institutions actually have it a little tougher. If your Amazon web service doesn't work, Amazon account doesn't work, you're really not going to be bothered. But at the same time, if you go to check your balance on your bank and that doesn't work, or if you're trying to do a transfer to your parents or children and that doesn't work, that today we have reached a scenario where technical stability is a proxy for financial stability. Many of us don't know how to read a balance sheet. We don't know how strong our bank is, whether it'll survive or not. But we are ready to move bank accounts if the technology doesn't work. And that is where, mm-hmm. Banks have it tough, that they have to keep up with a lot of new advances in processes, advances in, mm-hmm. Selling you new stuff, new methodologies. And all of that gets executed through technology. But the minute they take, they have to ensure that nothing breaks down. And that is where, the old adage of saying test
absolutely
comes to help. And that's where they reach out to people like us who help them ensure that they are innovating, but they remain stable.
Considering the global reach of technology, and it's so far as technology is concerned, the world, it's a flat world. How does Yethi Consulting adapt its strategies to cater to diverse cultural and business context, Shriram?
So we are lucky in one sense, Gaurav, because we are following on the footsteps of people who have innovated and who have beaten the path to technology advancement or selling technology to the globe before us. I know that India has been at the forefront of taking technology globally since the 80s, and that has made it very easy for us. Because a lot of people are now used to seeing Indian faces, Indian cultural nuances, play out when they do large technology transformations, especially financial services. I think India is one of the market leaders. Mm-hmm. And therefore, be it in Papua New Guinea or in Africa or Latin America, working with Indians is something which all banking executives have come to realize is part of the game. It's mm-hmm. not something new. It's not something novel. Having said that, it is a very different ball game when you are working exclusively on the technology side, or you mm-hmm. are working with the business teams. When you're working with the individuals, culture, language all play a major part. And so as we have grown to different parts of the globe, what we have tried to do is have someone who can bridge local culture and the Indian way of doing things, be part of our teams. That is key to us succeeding when we have long-term relationships with customers.
Finally, Shirang, what aspirations or goals do you have for Yethi Consulting, and how do you envision the company's legacy evolving over time, Shirang?
So Yethi has been growing at a fairly, you know, for the last 10 years, we have grown at about 40 to 50% a year. I hope that we are able to maintain the space. We are doing a lot to grow internationally. What is very heartening for me is this growth today has come without entering any of the major markets. So we are currently in India, Middle East, Africa. We're just starting our growth into Americas and Europe. And we still have Southeast Asia and North Asia to look at. So there is a wide world out there for us to conquer. And my hope is that in the next 10 years, Yethi turns into a globally recognized brand that stands for high quality delivery and innovative solutions.
Absolutely. Wish you all the best for that. And thank you so much for taking the time out to share your deep insights and perspective on a variety of issues. Thank you so much for having this conversation with us, Shirang.
Thank you so much, Gaurav. My pleasure.